Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear from you. The number is 844-322-2742, so if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, we cordially invite you to call now. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, the number is always the same in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends and guys. Today, June 3rd, 2020, we mark a significant milepost in the history of this ministry. It was June 3rd, 1985, when first we went on satellite radio to proclaim to the nation God's unconditional, everlasting love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Bob, you and I have been here since the start, and for me, it's been a wonderful blessing and an honor to be a part of it for all these 35 years.
Yes, indeed. And what's been thrilling is the fact that we've maintain our focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
That 35 years ago we went on the air. Bob George was the host at the time, and he brought the word of God. He brought the simplistic message of God's love and grace found in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what people needed. That's what people needed to hear. They needed to understand that their sins had been forgiven. They needed to understand that they had been made righteous in the sight of God, and that they had been given new life in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Well, guess what? That's exactly what they need to hear and understand today.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
The gospel never goes out of style. It is always relevant. It is always timely. It always speaks to the needs of the human heart. So we're grateful that we can continue to share this good news. And Andrew, we're glad you're a part of this.
Yes, indeed.
And sharing this good news as well. And now through Andrew Farley Ministries are taking this message far and wide. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I have known you guys for a couple of decades, more than that now.
Yeah.
And so it's just been a real privilege to know you guys and minister along with you. And I think we've got a couple of exciting decades to come.
I think so. And, you know, God will raise up more people 20 years from now, 30 years from now. And I think this message is going to continue until he comes back. And then we're going to really see it for what it is. So I'm just thankful to be one of those voices and to be a part of a team. And when I speak of a team, I'm not just talking about the Basic Gospel staff. I'm talking about Basic Gospel Nation. I'm talking about a group of people who, from all over this country and really all over the world, who want to get this message out, who stand with us week in, week out, month in, month out to share the good news. And as we start today's program, I wanted to take a look at a couple of passages out of the book of Acts. I think they are very timely based on current events, based on what things are going on out there in the world today. And it really speaks to this idea of racism. It speaks to this idea of division among people. And Peter is at the household of Cornelius. It's the first time he's probably ever entered into a Gentile home. As a Jew, it was a forbidden practice for them to do. If they did that, they would have defiled themselves, would have become unclean before the Lord. But God's Spirit moved him to take those steps into Cornelius's house. And Cornelius looks at him and says, "We know you're here. We know you're here for a purpose. So start talking." Well, here's how Peter opened his message with these words: "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality." Wow. If every single speech, if every single talk in today's society could be opened with these words, boy, how it would bring us together, how it would diffuse a situation. Peter did not understand this before this moment in time. He thought that God did show favoritism, that God was partial to the Jew and not to the Gentile. He felt he was a part of the blessed people. But in a vision, in a dream, he learned otherwise, and now standing in front of some human beings, flesh and blood, he recognized truth. And here's that truth: "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality." Well, we move forward to Acts chapter 15, and we're in Jerusalem. It's a council. They've gathered together, the leaders, to discuss the Gentile problem. Do we make them act like Jews in order for them to be a part of who we are? If they really want to be the people of God, they should get circumcised. They should follow the customs of Moses. Well, Peter stood up, and here in verse 7 of Acts 15, he says, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith." And he goes down to verse 11, "But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." So here's God's word about mankind. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are saved in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and all are given the same status in God's kingdom. That speaks volumes, doesn't it, Andrew, as far as how we're to view people as human beings and how we're to treat one another as human beings in this world today?
Yes, throw away the labels, toss the categories, and recognize that God is pursuing every single individual on this planet. It's not about what country you come from. It's not about your heritage, your lineage. We're all one in Jesus Christ. And so we got to get over ourselves. That's the bottom line. You know, there's too many people that think whatever group they come from makes them better than other groups. And when we wake up on a daily basis and say, "Lord Jesus Christ, give me the eyes to see people the way that you see them. I want the perspective that you have, this no favoritism perspective, and not recognizing people according to the flesh, but according to your spirit and how you see them." Well, I'm telling you, that is the answer to every human problem that we encounter in terms of racism and violence and hate and all of the things that we've seen just recently in our societies around the world. There's a general disrespect for people that are not like us in terms of skin color or background. And we gotta really be careful, because we're ultimately saying that that's some form of righteousness for us, that that's some form of status or worth or value for us. And if we're in that mindset, then we are missing this gospel perspective. And Bob, the only healthy outlook is the one of the Creator. If you want to know how to act like the creation and how to treat the creation, then look to the Creator. He knows it best.
Absolutely. And if you're interested, if you really want to know God's perspective on humankind, open your mind, open your heart, and let him teach you. And you will be able to say exactly like the Apostle Peter did, "Truly I understand, truly I understand that God shows no partiality."
Indeed. That is basic gospel stuff right there, guys.
Yes, it is.
Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, folks. 844-322-2742 is a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. And if you're hearing the broadcast at about 9 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and you can speak directly with Bob and Andrew and me, and we would love for you to do exactly that. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And Andrew, it's no secret that you are a prominent member of the board of directors for Basic Gospel Ministries, and you know, we know your heart. You have been a friend of ours for multiple decades, and you have been of one heart with us in the message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. June, of course, ends the fiscal year for this ministry. I would like for you to speak to our listeners from your heart about the importance of continuing to give and to support this ministry with their love, their prayers, and with their gifts.
Well, look at everything we've all been through, whether it's coronavirus or the riots in the streets. I mean, there is a need right now among all of us to be comforted and counseled and guided by the gospel message, by Christ living in us. And those are staple foods for us here at Basic Gospel. I mean, week in, week out, we are proclaiming the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We see people who have been believers for 10, 20, 30 years come to a deeper understanding of God's grace. We've also seen people who spent their lives in church but never really knew Jesus. We've seen them come to Christ. And so this is really a multifaceted opportunity for you as a listener. If you've not yet joined our support team, well, we invite you to do so. It literally takes just a couple of minutes, and maybe God puts it on your heart to join our team at $20 a month or $200 a month, whatever it is that God inspires you to do. Well, let me tell you, it means the world to us. It opens new doors. I mean, we're confronted with invitations to expand our reach and reach even more people every single month. And so when we see new people like you partner with us, it really makes an enormous difference. So please consider going to our website at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. And it takes just a couple of minutes to click that give or donate button and then partner with us today.
Absolutely. Great response, Andrew. And I appreciate it so much from the bottom of my heart, your heart for this ministry. And I know that you joined Bob and me and saying to our listeners, well, this is the end of the fiscal year. And Bob, you said yesterday that we have about $200,000 to go. So it's important for all of our listener friends to get in gear and support it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Sure is. Well, let's go to our phone lines right now. We're going to start with our friend Clay down in Thorndale, Texas. Hi, Clay.
Clay.
Hey. Along the same lines where Jesus is in John 13, where Jesus is given that new commandment that we're supposed to love the way that he's loved us. Well, I know that I didn't deserve that love that he gave me. And he goes on to say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Well, what I'd like to say is people hurt because they've been hurt, okay? And if I get up there and shake a Bible at somebody's face and tell them everything that's wrong with them and not show the love of God, I don't know how much God can get into the healing part of what's going on. To me, when I look at that stuff and see all these people behind these masks and everything out there rioting and everything and breaking into these places, I think of the veil of Moses. And it's still upon the law until it's turned towards Christ. So like you said, Bob, whatever we need to do, we need to turn this towards the love of Christ.
You're exactly right, Clay. And I think this is really a powerful passage for us. Love one another. This is the command that we're to love one another just as he has loved us. That's how we're to love one another. And by all this, people will know that we truly are his disciples if you have love one for another. And you think about that, Andrew, as far as the makeup of the body of Christ. When we see true believers, they're believers from, you know, from every tribe and nation and skin color and ethnicity and all of those sort of things. So it's the love of God that holds us together. And as we learn to love across those, you know, human barriers that are out there and see that there's something that transcends that, and that's the power of love, then that becomes evidence to a watching world that there really is something to this Jesus. There is really something to the story of his death, burial, and resurrection that needs to be looked at, that needs to be examined, that needs to be really researched to figure out if it's right or wrong.
Yeah, and you look at the command, I mean, to love others even as he's loved us. Well, I've got to know that he loves me. You've got to know that he loves you. And I'm afraid that, we're just so busy trying to produce for him. We're so busy trying to serve him and work for him and impress him and keep him liking us that we don't do a very good job of just being recipients. And you look at Simon Peter in this same John 13. I mean, Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And he's saying, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And he's just blown over by this, and he just wishes that it was the reverse, I guess, that he would wash Jesus's feet. And so you have to let Jesus serve you. Now, I know that we're not always comfortable with that wording because we're trying to serve the Lord. But in the gospel, he serves us. He serves up something incredible through his death, burial, and resurrection. So what I'm saying is we have to let ourselves be loved. We have to even go beyond the barriers that we've put up. Maybe you out there, you don't believe you're lovable because of the labels people have put on you. Maybe you don't believe that you're lovable because of the way people have categorized you. And so the answer to that is to decide that God is right about this, that God is right about you, and to just be a receiver of his divine love, his perfect agape love, and say, God, I've been abused a lot, I've been categorized a lot, I've been labeled a lot, but those are all just the creation. That's not the creator. And so I'm looking to you today, and as Paul prayed, I just pray that you would open my eyes to how big your love is for me. And you know, Bob, as we each do that individually, I mean, that's the answer to all of the stuff that we're witnessing out there. If we were all absorbing this incredible love of God, we wouldn't be seeing this sort of hatred and violence that's taking place.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, Clay, hope that helps. Thanks for your question today. We always love to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Clay.
Amen.
Guys, overnight, this call came in. Let's listen.
Hi, Bob. My name is Peggy, and I'm having some struggles in my life to where I really don't know what it is. You know, in the book of James, there's a part in chapter 2, verse 26, and kind of would like somebody to a little bit explain that to me. Is that for the Christians? Is that for work? Ever since I got saved, the devil's always come in there and tried to afflict fear upon my body. And I want to overcome that. But still yet, it just makes me feel like I got rubber band legs. But you see, when this fear hits you, it's just like it's overwhelming. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great question, isn't it, Andrew? And I think one of the things that all believers should know is that when we put our full weight of trust in Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, that's a living faith. Why? Because we have a living Lord. And so we don't have to worry about whether our faith is dead or not. It's alive because Jesus is alive. And sometimes we, as Peggy has done, she's looked at that and has become fearful that her faith may not be the genuine thing. But that's not what that passage is saying at all, is it?
Well, no, and you look at this example. I mean, Rahab the prostitute is an example, and Abraham is another example. And then even demons come up as an illustration of something. So what's he trying to say? Well, he's saying, have faith plus decision, like Rahab did. What'd she decide to do? She decided to turn a doorknob and open the door for the spies. Well, what did Abraham do? Well, he decided in faith, he decided to offer his son Isaac on the altar. And you say, well, how many times did they do that? Well, Abraham offered Isaac one time, and Rahab opened the door one time. So this is not about collecting 10 and 30 and 50 and 500 works that will somehow make you justified. No, this is saying, hey, do you want to just be like the demons? I mean, the demons could pass a theology test. The demons believe in monotheism. They believe there's one God. Of course, they know that for a fact, but that doesn't change them or transform them or make them any different. And so that's a dead faith. To just nod your head at doctrine is a dead faith. Well, what's a living faith? The living faith is when you say, I believe, and you open the door of your life, just like Rahab did. A living faith is when you say, I believe, and you offer yourself to God, just like Abraham offered Isaac. In other words, it's faith and response. And that's what James is talking about. So Peggy, as for you and for all of us who are already in Christ, what we need to take away from this passage is that we've already met the requirement of James 2. If you've opened the door of your life, if you've offered yourself to Jesus, then you've done exactly what James is talking about. You expressed your living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no need to wake up and count your many works, count up the fruit bearing that you've been involved in. That's not at all what this passage is about. It's simply saying, move beyond a dead faith of nodding your head at doctrine and embrace a living faith by opening the door of your life to Jesus himself so that his life comes to dwell in you. And Bob, every born-again believer has already done that. And so the truth about this passage will really set us free.
Yes, indeed. Well, we've got this question from one of our YouTube viewers, Andrew, and it's about people who believe that they are basically good or inherently good. How do you convince someone who doesn't know the Bible or who hasn't read the Bible that that's not true, that that's not true of everybody? We're not inherently good.
Well, I don't know if it's our job to convince anyone of anything, meaning that someone could say, I'm inherently good, and then I would turn to them and say, well, no, you're not, and that might last 5 minutes, and they're still saying they're inherently good. I could confront them with 613 laws from Judaism. I could point to the conscience, but ultimately, let's just be candid here. If a person is going to deny what the Spirit is bearing witness about, if a person is going to deny that they fall short of the glory of God, if a person is going to deny that they are imperfect and short of a standard such as the law, which is searing their conscience, which the Bible says in Romans, even us Gentiles who have no law, well, the righteous requirements of the law are on our conscience. And so between the Spirit of God bearing witness there and convicting the world, and then the actual requirement of the law being on our conscience as an unbeliever, I mean, God's already doing all the convincing he needs to do. The question is, are people going to respond? And God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you into understanding your state. He's not going to force you into agreeing with him. So, Bob, I believe that our job as Christians is simply to be available to the Lord and let him put the words in our mouths at the time that people need it. But as for their response, I mean, that's something we can never control.
We certainly can never control it. And what I always like to tell people is this, Andrew, that there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So just tell the story.
Yeah.
Just tell the story of Jesus. We also know from the book of Hebrews that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to discern between spirit and soul and judge the intentions of the heart. So just allow the gospel, allow the word of God to do its work. You don't have to try to convince anybody. You don't have to put on a persuasive presentation and hopes they're going to follow along. Just let the word of God do its work. And if it doesn't do it in that conversation, I'm sure that seed is going to be planted and soon they will be agreeing with what that truth is.
Absolutely. Well, friends, it's great to be with you on this 35th anniversary of this ministry. And, Andrew, it's good to have you to be a part of the, the verbal celebration. And, my
yes.
friends, thank you for being with us today as well. Keep in mind that this month is the end of our fiscal year, and we ask you to begin now to consider what your gift might be to help us meet year-end needs and be able to continue to produce resources and programming that make a difference in the lives of our listener friends. You can make your gift right now at basicgospel.net, or you can mail your gift using the mailing address in the footer of each page of our website, that, of course, basicgospel.net. And with your gift, we're going to send you a copy of our brand-new 30-day devotional called Forgiveness. We'd love for you to have it. It's a wonderful new resource, and with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a copy of it. So go to basicgospel.net or use that address in the footer of any page of the website to make your gift. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks, as always, to Andrew Farley for being with us, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow as we continue in our study from the book of Titus on basic gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.